Chapter 13. Henry Foster loomed up through the twilight of the embryo store. "Like to come to Ophelia this evening?" Lenina shook her head without speaking. "Going out with someone else?" It interested him to know which of his friends was being had by which other. "Is it Benito?" he questioned. She shook her head again. Henry detected the weariness in those purple eyes, the pallor beneath that glaze of lupus, the sadness at the corners of the unsmiling crimson mouth. "You're not feeling ill, are you?" he asked, a trifle anxiously, afraid that she might be suffering from one of the few remaining infectious diseases. Yet once more, Lenina shook her head. "Anyhow, you ought to go and see the doctor," said Henry. "A doctor a day keeps the jim-jams away," he added heartily, driving home his hypnopedic adage with a clap on the shoulder. "Perhaps you need a pregnancy substitute," he suggested, "or else an extra-strong VPS treatment. Sometimes, you know, the standard passion surrogate isn't quite..." "Oh, for Ford's sake," said Lenina, breaking her stubborn silence, "shut up!" And she turned back to her neglected embryos. A VPS treatment, indeed. She would have laughed if she hadn't been on the point of crying. As though she hadn't got enough VP of her own. She sighed profoundly as she refilled her syringe. "John," she murmured to herself. "John." Then, "Oh, my Ford," she wondered, "have I given this one its sleeping sickness injection, or haven't I?" She simply couldn't remember. In the end, she decided not to run the risk of letting it have a second dose, and moved down the line to the next bottle. 22 years, 8 months, and 4 days from that moment, a promising young Alpha Minus administrator at Mwanza Mwanza was to die of trypanosomiasis, the first case for over half a century. Sighing, Lenina went on with her work. An hour later, in the changing room, Fanny was energetically protesting, "But it's absurd to let yourself get into a state like this. Simply absurd," she repeated. "And what about a man, one man?" "But he's the one I want." "As though there weren't millions of other men in the world." "But I don't want them." "But how can you know till you've tried?" "I have tried." "But how many?" asked Fanny, shrugging her shoulders contemptuously. "One? Two?" "Dozens, but," shaking her head, "it wasn't any good," she added. "Well, you must persevere," said Fanny sententiously. But it was obvious that her confidence in her own prescriptions had been shaken. "Nothing can be achieved without perseverance." "But meanwhile, don't think of him. I can't help it." "Take Soma, then." "I do." "Well, go on." "But in the intervals, I still like him. I shall always like him." "Well, if that's the case," said Fanny with decision, "why don't you just go and take him, whether he wants it or no?"
"But if you knew how terribly queer he was."
"All the more reason for taking a firm line."
"Oh, it's all very well to say that."
"Don't stand any nonsense. Act."
Fanny's voice was a trumpet. She might have been a YWFA lecturer giving an evening talk to adolescent beta minuses.
"Yes, act. At once. Do it now."
"I'd be scared," said Lenina.
"Well, you've only got to take half a gram of Soma first, and now I'm going to have my bath."
She marched off, trailing her towel.
End of Disc 5.